Welcome to Duke's Podcast. I'm Emily Harmon.
I'm Gwen Douglas.
And today you're joining us just after we finished our Sunday lunch, actually. So we're not recording live, obviously, but we wanted to talk about the wines that we like to drink with our Sunday lunch.
And it's Easter Sunday lunch. That's why we took the weekend off. And yes. Here we are, full and maybe a tiny bit tipsy.
So we both brought a wine each, so I reckon we should start with your wine, actually.
So I brought a wine that I was recommended by our darling Fraulein Brösel here in Berlin. It's called Le Soula. Terroir d'altitude vin du...
Fenouillades. Yeah, so it's the 2013 Le Soula Blanc. So I actually just pulled up the Fiche Technique, the little tech sheet for this wine, because I wanted to check the blend, because Le Soula usually is between a blend of different parcels, different varietals every year. And this particular wine, Le Soula, not this vintage, when I discovered this wine for the first time, like, it stayed with me. I remember exactly when I tasted it the first time.
It's fucking delicious.
So I think I tasted it the first time either six or seven years ago. I can't remember if it was raw to...
Show off.
Yeah, it was either 12 or 13 at the Raw Wine Fair in London. And I remember seeing it with a little bee on the side. I contacted the winery. Yeah, I think it was 2013 that I tried it. And it would have been vintage 6, 7 or 8 at that time. And I contacted the winery. I was like, I really want to buy your wines. Where can I find them? And I put it on by the glass, actually, when I was working at the Zeta.
I have to say, I have a fondness for the label, even though it's simple.
So simple.
But the paper quality is really beautiful. There's a really nice tone to the paper, and it's a very nice label.
It is a very nice label. It's very memorable in its simplicity.
In its simplicity.
So what's quite interesting about this winery is that they have lots of parcels where they've got really amazing soils that give this mineral freshness to the wines. And I just looked up the blend because I wasn't completely sure because it changes from vintage to vintage. So they're very low yields, 17 hectolitres per hectare, which is super, super low, and quite low pH for Roussillon. So they're on Côte Catalan, just above Spain. So the blend is 32% Vermentino, which at the time was around 20 years of age, 30% Sauvignon, which is very surprising, I think.
Hello. We've had a few people commenting on our Sauvignon episode, so it's nice to see some little Sauvignon.
And the vines were around 30 years of age for those. There's 20% Macabeu, 35 years of age, 14% Grenache Blanc, 20 years of age, 3% of Marsan and Roussan, around 15 years of age, and then 1% Grenache Gris, which is around 50 years of age.
So tell me again what the main component was.
So it's predominantly, in this blend, Vermentino, Sauvignon and Macabeo.
So I'm going to say I don't know a whole lot about Vermentino.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because Vermentino, also in the south of France, it's known as Roll.
Okay.
So you might have seen it.
Yeah, I've seen it as that, under that name, but not under Vermentino.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And, I mean, Vermentino is quite fruity and a little bit floral in its youth, but here, obviously, because of the soil, like, you're seeing a different expression. And what I love about this wine, that whenever I try it, I find it a little bit like white Burgundy, but from the south of France.
Yeah. See, I made the mistake because I was very drunk the first time I had a bottle of this, and I remembered that I liked it, and I said to you that I thought it was oxidative.
Yeah, which is...
And that was a mistake, because it's not, but I think it does have this sort of Burgundy Jura because of the nuttiness, perhaps.
Yeah.
The sort of feeling of that. It was sort of a memory of that area rather than actually tasting like that.
And the vineyards are 100% biodynamic. They do use a little bit of copper and sulfur in the vineyards, but they use a lot of infusions of plants. The vinification is with wild yeast. They directly press whole bunches, so they don't stem anything.
Okay.
And then for 12 months, it's in a blend of 500-litre barrels and 2,000 and 3,000-litre barrels. It's a bit confusing, actually, the information here. So it says 46% of the wine is in 500-litre barrels. And then it says a mixture of 2,000 to 3,000 litre barrels 9% of the wine is in, and then 48% in vats. So I guess that's stainless steel. So so it's a mix of wood, larger wood and steel, which is why you don't have that huge oaky influence on the wine.
Anyway, I love this wine. I have to say, when I bought it, it was a wild card because I, you know, as we've talked about in the podcast before too, and our listeners know, that I like to try things that I've never had before. So usually if I go in somewhere, I say, I want this, 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 and this. And then I usually say dealer's choice. So whoever's selling me anything gets to pick something that I get to bring home. And luckily, I actually was talking to Stephanie, and she suggested this one. She said it was one of her favorites, and she definitely did not disappoint.
Yeah, I mean, this is amazing. This wine's iconic. An amazing Sunday lunch. Like, if you've got roast chicken...
So good. I want to eat chicken skin with this, just like chicken skin.
Yeah, because the saltiness of chicken skin.
It's so good.
And I think there are sort of like, everybody chooses different wines for different reasons for Sunday lunch. Like, what was your reason for bringing this wine for Sunday lunch?
Chicken skin. That's pretty much the...
Yeah.
When I think of this wine and the combination of like a super salty, crunchy chicken skin... perfect for me.
Yeah, because it's nice because it's still got that fruit. There's some delicate aromatics there. It's slightly nutty, the wine, but at the same time it's sort of got this like creaminess.
Yeah, it's really, I think if you're into Burgundy or white Burgundies, this would be an interesting step sideways.
Yeah, 100%. It's a bloody nice wine. I mean, I was really happy when you bought it because it's one of my all-time favorites.
Since she made me buy one bottle, now I've bought several, so I have some on hand at home because I really love it.
Every Sunday at Gwen's.
She's made me a believer.
La Sula Sundays at Gwen's.
Sounds pretty sexy.
Yeah. It actually does. So I totally get why you bought this for Sunday lunch, particularly for like Sunday roast with chicken. What are you looking for when you're picking your Sunday lunch wines?
Oh, that's a good question. Because I guess I want something that's going to like stand up to it. Because I think, like, if we're having something before or after, it's going to be something delicious. But I like savory. So I think savory wines are definitely, for me, a pick for roasts.
Yep.
Something that, like, brings out the herbs or the saltiness or that doesn't get overwhelmed by whatever you're cooking. And I think that this one has enough interest that if you have a super salty herbal chicken skin...
Yeah.
I mean, I like my... chicken roast super crunchy, then it works.
No, I think this is lovely. I what I love about this is there is enough intensity for sort of any sort of richer gravies or sauces
that can deal with the fats, and there's enough acidity that can cut through it.
Exactly, this is a wine that exactly complements chicken and gravy, potatoes, Yorkshire puddings.
I mean, we had this when we saw the Greek wines, like that one wine that tasted like sage. Like, this would be something that I would want for
That's a good idea.
Herbal enough and like acidic enough that can like cut through everything and still stand on its own.
Retsina with chicken and mushroom pie.
I'm in it. So good. I'm excited for your pick because you picked something red. So and I'm not a big red drinker.
Yeah, so I chose a little a Magnum today from my cellar. Just a little Magnum.
Just a little casual Magnum.
Yeah, the tallest Magnum that I could find.
It is fucking huge. It's definitely a statement piece. Yeah. When you brought that thing out, it's like everyone is eyeballing.
I mean, if I was a guy, there'd be different questions.
Yeah.
But, So I bought a Magnum of Red, which is in a Magnum Riesling bottle. So it's in the very tall, thin, long bottles.
That's not whatever a girl wants to hear, but, you know.
Yeah, they don't want to hear thin.
No. Oh, the snort comes out.
Anyway, so I bought something from my collection that I've been holding onto for a little while, and I actually thought today was the day to crack it open because I've sort of been staring at it, waiting for the time to drink it, and then I thought, I don't want to miss the right time, so I wanted to try it. And actually, I hadn't tried many of this producer's older wines. So this is 2008 Pinot Noir, Cuvée Beatrice. Would you say Beatrice?
I mean, it's hard for me to hear the word cuvée now and not wait for the word buffet to follow it. But
but if you were saying it French-wise, you'd say Beatrice or Beatrice? Beatrice?
I'm going to be honest. I don't know if I've ever... Beatrice. Beatrice. Yeah. It's funny because I don't know so many Beatrices in French.
It's true. I don't know any.
So well, lots of English girls in B.
So we have 2008 Pinot Noir Cuvée Beatrice from Audrey and Christian Binner. So it's interesting because I was recently actually visiting Foradori and Teo, who's making the wines with his brother, Emilio. He was talking very highly of the Binner wine, saying how exciting it is that somebody can make quite creative, experimental wines. Experimental is maybe not the right word, but quite expressive, natural wines, essentially.
Just something,
natural wines that are actually left to age before being released.
I really liked this when we tried this earlier, and I'm excited to try it again.
Yeah, me too. So 100% Pinot Noir from Alsace, from the, I guess, really one of the most iconic producers in Alsace as well. So this wine is 100% Pinot Noir, as I already said. It's unfined, unfiltered, very, very low levels of sulfur. I mean, he's not usually adding more than 10 milligrams per litre, which is super low. I mean, I'm not so interested really in talking about sulfur at all, because I don't think it actually means much to many people.
I think it has a really beautiful colour. It has the colour of, like, homemade strawberry jam.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like Jura-esque, where it's not completely bright red. So one single vineyard, Cuvée Beatrice, and they severely sort the grapes. It's from old plots with really small yields, maceration for 10 days. They punch down a little bit, and then wild yeast. So it's just 100% pure fermented fruit juice, essentially.
I mean, I would say that, like, fuck the roast dinner, this is dessert. You could just have this.
But it's quite dry.
I know it is dry, but I think it's still yummy.
So I chose this because, one, usually when you have a Sunday lunch, you're not one person.
No, you're lots of people.
Usually a few people together, and it's celebratory. And I think no better way, as you know from my pop-up series.
Yes.
There's no better
way to... You love a Magnum.
I love a Magnum. And particularly with wines with a bit of age on. Obviously, they preserve the wine even better when they're a Magnum. And I'm really happy to try the wine and see that it's in good condition.
Like, oh, it's in really, great condition.
I was super stoked earlier on where I was like, oh, it's really good. Oh,
it's really fun because actually, now that we're trying it even later, because we tried it earlier today,
It's held
happy
up
that
and
it's
I've
like,
left the cork out. So it's been open for like eight
and
hours
it's, like,
now.
And it's different because I think when I had it earlier, I was thinking more the sort of natural maraschino cherries in their juice, but now I'm really getting that, like, wild strawberry jam, but still dry. It's not that overly sweet. It's just all of the right things you want to be tasting. Leafy.
Totally.
And a bit,
herbal. It's a bit spicy. It's earthy, but it's also still full of fruit. For anybody that says natural wines can't age, this is an example that stands in the face of that. That says, actually, this is a killer wine.
And it's everything I want in a Pinot. Something savoury, something a bit fruit.
No, oak all in the way. This is literally just
really
the fruit.
It's really beautiful.
Yeah,
I really love it. What else would you... other occasions would you have this?
I mean, I would happily drink this. I mean, we're back on the balcony again here. But I think I would... You know, like with food, I don't necessarily think with beef it's not great, but like...
No, something it might overpower.
Like ham, pork, amazing. Chicken, obviously, is a red wine option. It's brilliant.
Great.
Even if somebody was doing like... I think a really nice time to drink this wine would be... Because now we're coming into spring and it's very warm already this time of year. I think with something like whole-baked salmon, like salmon in salt or something,
nice.
You had at room temperature for lunch with some greens.
Yeah, totally.
That would be quite nice.
Very nice.
And even like Asian, because it's got that bit of development, like I'm thinking of umami and then I have a soft spot for Japan, so I'm like...
Mushrooms and...
Anything.
Those little tiny enoki mushrooms.
Yes.
Yeah, anything with that.
Which we're going to have in our risotto for our after...
the after roast dinner.
The after roast dinner.
No, it's actually really nice to try this again because
it's
we had it earlier.
I was quite nervous about
wine. I know.
Wine.
Because it could have
tipped
gone
over.
Another,
what's amazing about this is like we try so many wines, these natural wines or whatever, that often show these like aldehyde or aldehydic characters, these mousy notes. There's not a touch of this in this wine.
No,
it's not
nothing.
Oxidized.
It's really beautiful.
It's a very well-made, preserved wine.
I actually think it gets more interesting with a little air.
Yeah, and we've had it open now for 8 hours without the cork in, and I kind of forgot to put the cork in. And then when we went to record, I was like, oh, no.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, is that going to be okay?
No, but actually, it's delicious. I actually think it's, like, developed in a really nice way.
Yeah, and for a lot of people, they'd open it and they'd go, oh, my God, what's that murky wine in the glass? Because it's quite cloudy, but...
But I really love the colour, because there's this murkiness, but it has this... I wish I could find a word exactly for that aged colour that is...
Well, it's almost wine gone. It's like ruby versus garnet. Like, it's getting that bricky tone to the wine.
No, like, you have a word for it in wine, but I feel like as an artist, I wish I had a better word for it.
It's like pondy garnet.
Oh, no, it's...
A garnet-coloured pond.
I wish I had a better word for it than that.
I know. I'm sure we could find the Pantone shade for that.
But it's really pretty.
But, and I guess, for me, with these sort of things, also when I look at Magnums, there are two different ways of buying Magnums. One is buying a wine that in a Magnum that you want to keep for a long time and you want to see it develop, in which case I've done this. And I was quite nervous because I know with Binner, the wines are so ethereal and they're quite... there's nothing protecting them. They're almost like... It's almost like a woman without makeup. So you can see any flaws in the skin, acne.
I love it.
Yeah, and I think, with age, I was like, oh, if there's anything wrong with this wine, like, we're really going to see it. But actually, to see a wine that's, it's almost
developed,
pristine, yeah, it's like somebody with really clear skin.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really interesting.
It makes me want to draw her now.
You should.
Who is this lady?
Beatrice. Yeah.
Beatrice. Who is Beatrice?
Yeah.
And actually, again, I would munch down on a whole pile of chicken skin with this.
Yeah.
Delicious.
All that honey roast
in a
ham.
Different way.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, honey roast ham.
It'd be really nice. That'll be my Sunday lunch choice for this one. But going back to my choice of Magnums, one is, like, sort of more serious wines that need time to age, and I know Magnum, they're going to develop a bit more slowly and they're a bit more reliable. But equally, two, the other type of Magnum I like to buy, they just deliver and they're drinkable, and you open it, and even if you're four people, you want to drink a Magnum rather than a bottle.
So, can I ask a question that is maybe stupid? Is why does a bottle age better in a Magnum bottle?
So what I've been told and what I've been taught is that because you have the same surface area in a Magnum to a normal... Exactly.
Ah,
so you have the... When the cork is in the bottle, the little bit of oxygen at the top and also the exchange through the cork is the same.
Just less
in
oxygen
a Magnum,
coming
exactly.
in.
Exactly. So apparently they evolve slower than a normal bottle would because there's more wine inside, right?
Because I think that's a question...
Yeah.
I've definitely asked myself before.
Yeah, so everybody says, oh, everything tastes better out of Magnum.
And you're like, oh, which, okay. And everyone agrees with, but maybe doesn't know why.
And sometimes a Magnum does taste better, depending on
but
the wine.
But can it go the other way around?
Well, I guess if it's a wine that doesn't need to be aged...
Or if it's a wine that should be aged more, does it then...
Well, it's just
slower. Slow it down.
Yeah, I guess it's a bit slower, but I guess it's sort of a safer bet with some particular wines, but it really depends on what you're drinking that for. I'm sure that this wine would have been delicious when I first received this bottle.
Because you've had it for how long?
6-7 years.
Love it.
In my little collection.
Self control.
I know, the whole time I kept looking at it, and the longer it went on, I was like, I can't open it. It became this thing where I was like challenging myself of like...
No,
that's why. That's why I opened it today.
That's why I want to know why today.
So I put it in the fridge because I was wary that it was getting warmer and warmer in my apartment. Because I've just changed apartments. I was like, oh, I don't know how this is going to hold up over summer. So I popped it in the fridge. And then it was in there. And I was like, oh, well, I guess we might as well open it in the fridge. And then I...
Like, you've moved yourself to the fridge. So you're one step closer to my mouth.
Yeah. And then I just thought...
No, you're in the fridge.
I just thought,
mine.
How long am I going to wait for this wine? And I, you know, it's very interesting, that film Sideways, where it talks about, like, sometimes the occasion is drinking the bottle. Sometimes you don't have to wait for the occasion.
Sometimes that is the occasion.
And today was that day.
I'm happy it was today because I think this is really beautiful.
Yeah. So, drink La Sula, drink Binner Mags. Can't recommend... Like, I feel totally spoilt by our Sunday lunch ones today.
Yes.
I think we've done really well.
Yeah, we have. And I think this is a really good opportunity to tell people that sometimes it's good to wait, but sometimes treat yourself for no other reason than the fact that it's today.
I mean, we've done quite well. 2013 La Sula and 2008 Cuvée Beatrice Pinot Noir from Binner. We've been quite patient. Yeah.
Anyway. I think we've done well. Anyway, so.
Thanks for tuning in. Let us know what you're drinking with your
I want to know, what did you wait for? What have you been waiting for? And what did you put on the shelf?
Yeah, and what are you cooking with your Sunday lunch wines as well?
Absolutely. We want to know everything. So you can find us on Instagram at juice.podcast.
On Twitter at juice_podcast.
You can find us on our website at juice.show. And otherwise, it's me, Gwen, saying goodnight.
And Emily saying goodnight also.
Gonna finish this magnum.
Yeah. Watch out.